This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Each year, the Hollywood Diversity Report tracks the progress made by the film and television industry on race and gender representations in front of and behind the camera. The latest report on film is just out. And in a landscape where streaming services are leading traditional theatrical releases, we see significant gains in on-screen representation. However, there is less progress on the demographics of directors and writers. My guest is Darnell Hunt, Dean of the Division of Social Sciences at UCLA, Professor of Sociology and African American Studies, and lead author on the past 8 installments of the annual diversity report, as well as, of course, this latest one. He's been a frequent guest on our program to talk about these reports. Welcome back, Darnell.
Great to be here.
So it's always a pleasure to speak with you, especially considering that every year we speak, there is, you know, if not fantastic progress, at least marginal progress. So let's talk about the places where there has been progress on diversity in film and remind our audience of what period this is covering and the fact that we're in this landscape where streaming services are leading.
Yeah, so when our report comes out, it typically looks at the year preceding. So the 2022 report looks at the 2021 calendar year. We have to wait for the year to end, of course, to collect all the data so we have a comprehensive picture of what happened. So we're talking about 2021, which, as you know, was still kind of affected pretty significantly by the pandemic. Not as much as 2020 when theaters were closed most of the year. Theaters actually slowly started to reopen in 2021. So the data that I'll be talking about today is based on 252 films that were released in 2021. 45.6% of those films, nearly half, were released solely on streaming platforms, which is quite significant. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Only about 18% were released solely in theaters, and then the remainder were released a combination of in theaters and through streaming, some with a 45-day window, others simultaneously, and so forth.
So when we look at the way in which the demographics in front of this on-screen have changed, how much, first of all, have racial and gender dynamics changed in lead roles as well as overall cast diversity, and how much of those increases in diversity you think are related to the fact that streaming services now dominate?
Well, so we've argued that streaming services have really hastened the process by which diversity has increased on screen. When we first started looking at leads, for example, in Hollywood films, for 2011, our first report came out in 2014, and we looked at 2 seasons because we wanted to catch up. We looked at 2011, 2012. Only 10.5% of the leads among the top Hollywood films in 2011 had people of color as in those positions. Fast forward to 2021, and fully 38.9% of the leads were people of color. So that's nearly quadruple what we saw in 2011. So that's significant progress over the years. Now, we've argued that some of that is related to the fact that streaming played such a major role in 2020 and 21. And what we normally do is we look at the top Hollywood films ranked by global box office, and we cut off at the 200th film. Then we subtract out foreign language films. That leaves us the films that we look at in any given year. Well, that methodology shifted in 2020 because of the pandemic. Not a lot of films were released in theaters, so we had to go to streaming. And the way we looked at streaming was we ranked the films by ratings, because we also have access to ratings data. And we looked at a combination of the top films in box office along with those that were released via streaming platforms. And that's how we came up with the films we looked at in 2020, the first year of the pandemic, and in this report for 2021, the second year. And what that means is we have a bigger mix of streaming films in our data set than we've ever had in the past. And those films tend to be more diverse. They tend to be smaller films. They tend not to be your tentpole films, although there were a few like Wonder Woman, for example, in 2020 that was released via streaming. And what that's done is created opportunities for people of color, actors of color, directors of color, writers of color, to essentially helm a film or lead a film, and to be included in our data set when they wouldn't have been included before, when we were only looking at the top theatrically released films. So some of this is sort of an artifact of the pandemic, I think. And the question is, and the reason why we titled our report a new post-pandemic normal question mark, is we're wondering whether this will continue going forward once we're out of the pandemic. And we're arguing that we don't think we're going to go back to what existed before the pandemic, because streaming has proven itself as an important vehicle for distribution. Audiences of color flock to these films, and we can talk about that a little bit later in terms of the ratings and the box office data. And, you know, people of color, you know, represent 42.7% of our population now. We'll be majority minority in a decade or two. So Hollywood really can't go back to the way it was doing business before. And we think that this, what we found the last 2 years, is an indicator of what could be, the type of diversity we could have on a regular basis.
Let's talk about the way in which we've seen gains in front of the camera, but not as many behind the camera. What about directors and writers? These are key positions for film that determine how characters, you know, function on screen, what motivates them. And we've had a situation for a long time where when we've had roles for people of color, they've often been written by white writers, so they've tended to be one-dimensional or caricatures or stereotypical. So what has changed on that front?
Yeah, that's a great point. So one of the things we've been arguing, both for television and film, for several years is that, you know, even as we've seen encouraging progress in front of the camera, we haven't seen as much behind the camera, most notably in the executive suites, which remain overwhelmingly white and male. However, we have seen some progress among directors and writers. And again, there was a huge jump between 2019 and 2020, the first year of the pandemic, for the same reasons that I think we saw more diversity on screen. The fact that streaming films tended to be smaller films and more diverse. And so we saw more directors of color, more women directors, that type of thing, beginning in 2020. When we first started the study back in 2014, for the 2011 year, only 12.2% of the directors were people of color. In 2019, only 14.4%. So there was really only about a 2 percentage point increase over that 8-year period between 2011 and 2019. All of a sudden, in 2020, we had this big jump to 25.4% of the directors being people of color, almost double what we saw the year before. And that was almost assuredly the result of streaming films playing a bigger role in sort of Hollywood releases that year. In 2021, or for 2021 in this current report, 30.2% of the directors were people of color. So again, amazing increases since 2011, but not quite proportionate representation. They'd have to increase their share by another 12% or so to get to 42.7%, which is what people of color represented the overall population. So again, we've seen a lot of progress over the years, not as much as we've seen on screen. And I think the last 2 years are largely the result of the pandemic. And so the question mark in our subtitle is, well, when theaters are back online fully, maybe next year, maybe the year after, will we continue to see the numbers we're seeing now, or will streaming continue to play a major role and the types of films that made it into our data set the last 2 years will continue to boost the numbers for women and people of color? And that's a question mark. And that's something that we're going to be looking at really closely over the next couple of years.
How important is it for cast diversity to have directors and writers of color? As in, when you have a director who's a person of color, do they tend to pick more diverse casts for their films overall?
So one of the things that we found is that films that are directed by women and people of color tend to be more diverse overall. So that's something that we found several years in a row. It's pretty clear. And unfortunately, the films that are directed by women and people of color also tend to have smaller budgets. So that kind of supports the point I was making earlier about the last couple of years being largely impacted by the pandemic. And that's why we've seen these big jumps in diversity on screen, because smaller films with smaller budgets that are more likely to be directed by women and people of color are suddenly being considered because they're being released via streaming platforms. Films that probably wouldn't have been released in theaters, or if they were, they wouldn't have made the top 200.
So because they're cheaper to make, they were being funded.
Yeah. But the irony, of course, is that they tend to do better than some of the other films that might have larger budgets that aren't very diverse at all. One of the consistent findings that we've seen over the 10 years of this report series is that the least diverse films, films with casts that are less than 11% people of color, consistently do the worst. They're the poorest performers. And so you have to ask yourself, why is the industry making so many films like this? And when we started in 2014, those were the most numerous films. They were the plurality, the films that were less than 11% people of color. Fast forward to the present, films with majority-minority casts are actually in the plurality. So we've seen a huge shift in overall cast diversity towards more of the top films being more diverse than what we saw when we first started doing the study. So, I mean, some of this is, I think that Hollywood has kind of gotten the memo. We've been harping on this for years now, that diversity sells. We haven't really gotten into that yet, but the data is pretty clear. I think the industry's finally gotten it. What they haven't done to the same extent is change the way they do business behind the camera. That is to say, the people in the executive suites who make decisions about what's going to be greenlighted, what the budget's going to be, who's going to direct, that type of thing. We're still talking about white men there for the most part.
So let's talk about how diverse audiences pushed sales and box office sales and ratings on streaming services, and whether that is going to be something that the executive suites will continue to take seriously. What is in the data about audiences?
So what we do basically is we take every film and we assign it to a different bucket, and those buckets are based on how diverse the cast is. So we look at films that have casts that are less than 11% people of color, films that have casts that are from 11% to 20%, from 21% to 30%, 31 to 40, 41 to 50, and then over 50. So basically we have six different categories for films, organized from the least diverse to the most diverse. And what we found consistently since 2011 is that films that have casts that look more like America's diversity, and remember, people of color represent about 42.7% of the population now, films that look more like America's diversity, on average, have the highest box office. So for 2021, we found that films that were from 21% to 30% people of color had the highest box office. When we look at streaming films, we found that films that also had cast from 21% to 30 had the highest ratings, and a close second was films that had cast from 41 to 50% people of color. So you can see how diverse films on average are just making more money. Another indicator of why all this matters is if you look at the top 10 films ranked by global box office, and the number one film at the box office in 2021, just for anyone who's guessing, is Spider-Man No Way Home. No Time to Die, the James Bond film, was number two. F9, the Fast Saga, from the Fast and Furious franchise, that was number three, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if you look at those top 10 films ranked by global box office, people of color bought the majority of the opening weekend domestic tickets for six of the top 10. That's significant. It demonstrates the buying power of people of color at the box office. And this was during a pandemic year. If you look at films that were streamed in 2021, if you look at the top 10 films ranked by ratings, people of color or households of color were overrepresented for every one of those top 10 films. That is to say, the share of households of color was larger than their share of the overall households in the country for each of those top 10 films. So again, people of color are driving box office and ratings for films that were released in theaters and films that were released via streaming.
Darnell, I know that the issue of diversity sells has been a very important theme from folks like yourself, from organizers for racial justice, because, you know, we have been told for years by movie makers that, oh, we don't have people of color in films because there's just not enough money in it, and we have to, you know, we're a profit-based industry. And so the excuse for years had been that white leads sell movies. That was proven wrong. It has been proven wrong. Now we're seeing more diverse casts, and it's going to be really interesting to see whether this sustains itself or not. Because if Hollywood goes back to the way things were, then we know that it's not money that's really driving their decision-making. It's racism.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's no question that Hollywood is sort of has a pretty notorious racist past. I mean, the original, or some people would argue the first Hollywood film was Birth of a Nation, which was all about glorifying the KKK and white supremacy and essentially demeaning and dehumanizing Blacks. You know, they had whites playing Blacks in blackface, and when they did have Black actors, they belittled them, you know, showing how they weren't fit for, you know, office when they, you know, after Reconstruction were part of Congress and so forth and so on. So there are all these negative stereotypes about African-Americans that sort of were popularized and mass communicated for the first time in this film that was seen by millions. President Woodrow Wilson, for example, showed the film at the White House and described it as history written in lightning, you know, to dignitaries from other countries, because it, for him, epitomized what America was, a racist, white supremacist country, you know. So that was the beginning of Hollywood. And over the years, of course, white men have dominated the industry, and slowly women and people of color have, you know, found entry to different sectors of the industry. But it's never really become this sort of democratic representative space that represents what America is today. So there's a lot of work to be done there. And Hollywood is always sort of hidden behind this sort of argument about what audiences want to see. And it's all about making money. It's show business. Leads of color don't travel overseas because, you know, we make a lot of our money from the global market now, and we can't afford to lose money by putting a Black actor out front. Now, of course, we've debunked a lot of that in our study over the years. And if you think about it, the world's diversity around the globe looks a lot more like America's diversity than it does Europe. I mean, Europe is only about 18% of the world's population, about 21% of the world's GDP. What about the rest of the world and the rest of the money? So it's just basically an excuse. It's a fig leaf that the industry has been hiding behind to allow white men to continue to dominate things and to argue for, you know, why they're justified in doing that. And what we've been trying to do with this project over the last 10 years is to take on each of those myths and to deconstruct them with data to show how that's actually not the case. It's not the case domestically, and it's not the case globally.
So there's, you know, hard facts like box office ticket sales, but then there's the more subjective recognitions, and your report covers accolades, the Oscars, the Academy Awards, and of course the latest 2022 Academy Awards were just this past weekend, quite dramatic. You feel free to throw out any opinions you have on the drama that unfolded on screen, but what did the diversity report find about how the Academy, that is the peers of those people working in the industry, recognize or not diverse filmmakers, diverse cast members and leads?
Yeah. So here you're gonna have to bear with me. It's a little complicated in terms of the timing. So we release our report every year the week before Oscars because we're trying to ride the wave. People are talking about the industry and we wanna, you know, kind of release our report right before the Oscars when everyone's talking about it so that it becomes part of the conversation. What that means is we don't know yet who's going to win the Oscars for that year. So our report always looks at the previous Oscar year. And so we're looking at the previous year in terms of films, 2021, but we're actually looking at Oscar winners from 2020, if you can follow me on that. So it's a little bit complicated.
Oscar winners from 2020 are for films made the year before that?
Exactly. So we're not talking about the same year that we're talking about in the rest of the report. We're talking about Oscar winners. If you'll recall, in 2020, that was a breakthrough year for the Oscars. There were lots and lots of nominations for people of color in the acting categories and directing categories and a range of different categories. And sure enough, what we found in the report was that breakthrough year in nominations also led to a breakthrough year in awards. In fact, for the first time since we've been doing the study, films that were directed by people of color won more Oscars than films that weren't directed by people of color. So that's pretty significant. And that had never really happened before, certainly not since 2011, since we've been tracking this. So that was significant. This year, you know, prior to the release of our report, we had another year of pretty decent, you know, nominations of people of color. You had two African-American men, for example, in the best, the lead actor category. We had Denzel Washington and Will Smith. There we go. How can I forget Will Smith's name, given the drama at the Oscars, right? So both of them were in the same category. I mean, that doesn't happen all that often. You had Anjanou Ellis in the Best Supporting Actress category. We had Jane Campion, Best Director, a woman. There were a number of different nominations that were diverse, people of color and or women, that led to sort of the prospect of another good season in terms of award winners. Now, we haven't done the analysis yet for this year's show, because we have to look at all the films, all the nominees, and figure out what the odds were of winning in different categories. But it's safe to say that we've gone substantially past where we were during the Oscar So White years, where there weren't any nominations at all for people of color in the major acting categories. And we rarely see nominations for people of color in the directing and the writing category. So by all accounts, the last couple of years have been much, much better than what we saw the last, you know, what, 5 or 6 years ago. Now, the Academy has been working overtime to try to diversify its membership, because part of the problem was it was mostly older white men who dominated many of the sections that actually nominate and vote on award winners.
And they did that because of the pressure from activists, right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
And from reports like yours.
Well, right. Oscar So White. I mean, that was the movement that really kind of lit a fire under the Academy. And so without that, I don't know that we'd be having this conversation today about the progress we've seen the last couple of years. And our report, of course, has also tracked sort of performance at the Oscars. And we've argued that the Oscars are important because, you know, they kind of set the tone for the culture of the industry. You know, the whole idea of the Oscars is they're awarding excellence. They're awarding and celebrating the best that the industry has to offer. And if the industry is only recognizing white-directed, white-led, white-written films, then what does that say about everyone else and the quality of what they're producing? And whether or not the white men who sit in the executive suites when they're making decisions about what to greenlight, whether they want to greenlight those films. Or even more pertinently, if what type of budget they want to give those films if they're not perceived to be Oscar-worthy films. So the whole tone and the standards by which the industry operates often flow from what's recognized at the Oscars. So the Oscars are really important, and we've kind of made this point over the years, and that's one of the reasons why you need more inclusion among the people who are nominating and voting, and ultimately the things that are nominated for and awarded.
Well, Darnell, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us. It's a great pleasure to have you on. We'll post a link to the latest report, the Hollywood Diversity Report on Film, from our website so our audience can read it themselves. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Darnell Hunt. He's Dean of the Division of Social Sciences at UCLA, Professor of Sociology and African American Studies, and lead author of the annual Hollywood Diversity Reports. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, by becoming a subscriber. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.